You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Disease Du Jour podcast. I'm your host, Carly Sisson, and in this episode, I spoke with Dr. Jane Manfredi about muscle conditions and injuries in horses, including clinical signs, diagnostics, management strategies, prognosis, and more. This episode of Disease Du Jour is brought to you by Bimeda. Dr. Manfredi is the Mary Ann McPhail Dressage Chair in Equine Sports Medicine and an associate professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences at Michigan State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. She graduated from the Atlantic Veterinary College, did an internship at Mississippi State University, and spent time in a private mixed large animal private practice and at two Chicago racetracks before completing a large animal surgical residency at the University of Minnesota. She completed a PhD at Michigan State in comparative medicine and integrative biology, and became boarded in equine sports medicine and rehabilitation before joining the faculty. Her research interests include the intersection of endocrine disorders and osteoarthritis, sports medicine and rehabilitation of the performance horse, and rider-horse-tack interactions. She has a passion for teaching and has been awarded the MSU Teacher Scholar Award, as well as being named an Academy of Veterinary Educators Distinguished Expert. She is an FEI-level dressage rider and has her USDF bronze, silver, and gold medals. Before we get into the episode, I want to apologize that the audio got a little bit distorted in some places, but I hope that won't take away too much from the discussion, so thank you so much for sticking with us. Thank you, Dr. Manfredi, for joining us.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and your expertise on the subject?
Sure, thanks. So I am at Michigan State University, the College of Veterinary Medicine. I'm the Mary Ann McPhail Dressage Chair in Equine Sports Medicine. Mrs. McPhail was a great supporter of all things horses and really had an interest in promoting research and outreach dedicated to helping horse health and welfare. She unfortunately recently just passed, but I really do my best to keep on her legacy and do things like podcasts like this to really share the information we have most currently with veterinarians and horse-interested individuals. So my interest in muscle disease is kind of twofold. My predecessor and mentor, Dr. Stephanie Dahlberg, is world-renowned for muscle disease information and has roped me into having a great interest in that area as well, including the fact that my current mount has myofibular myopathy, which I'll touch on probably later in the podcast.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have your perspective. And this is a really broad subject, so we're going to try to do our best to cover it as comprehensively as possible. But to get us started, how common are muscle conditions in horses? And are there certain types of horses that are more predisposed?
Sure. So muscle conditioned horses range anywhere from like 1% to 7% of being what's reported. And there are definitely breeds that have more prone to muscle disease through genetics, particularly. So, you know, for example, some of our quarter horses, our Arabians, and our warm bloods have different kind of genetic conditions that can predispose them to it. Some of our thoroughbreds have some exertional myopathies and injuries that they tend to get as well. So definitely there are some breeds that are more effective, as well as including drafts. So for sure, that is something you're thinking about when you're looking at a particular breed and or discipline of riding that you do.
And what are some of the common types and categories of muscle conditions that veterinarians might encounter?
Sure. So there's a wide range. So a lot of them have a genetic basis. So HYPP and some of our PSSM1s. There's also traumatic injury. So due to saddle fit, kicks, tearing around in the field. I'm sure we've all seen some of those. They can have chronic injuries like fibrotic myopathy, which sometimes can happen after an injury or injection. There's ischemic kinds, toxic kinds, nutritional kinds, and a large category of exercise-induced kinds of muscle injuries as well.
So how do you detect these conditions? You know, what are some of the clinical signs you might encounter, and how might these differ between a more acute condition and a chronic problem?
So much of muscle disease presents in similar ways. So muscle soreness, stiffness, heat, pain, local areas of muscle atrophy, or that's where like kind of the muscle shrinks down in size. So reluctance to move forward or perform activities they did before. So these are all kind of features of muscle disease. Can also result in the horse either being trembling or localized sweating or even becoming recumbent or laying down. So some of the more acute implications of that are what you would consider with kind of the classic like tying up appearance. So muscle trembling, heat, pain on local palpation, stiffness, reluctance to move. Some of our more chronic forms of this can be seen secondary to stiffness or like scarring, especially on palpation. That would be something associated with like the fibrotic myopathy and just kind of reluctance to perform normal behaviors where in the past they did as well. So they are kind of general and you have to kind of dive into a little more diagnostics before you can see what exactly might be the root cause.
Today's episode of the Disease Azure podcast is brought to you by Bimeda Equine. Bimeda might be the biggest animal health company you've never heard of until now. Bimeda's products have been trusted by veterinarians and owners since the 1960s when their Irish roots began. Bimeda is one of the largest producers of dewormers like Equimax, Bimectin, and Exodus. World-renowned equine athletes also rely on Polyglycan, a patented formula that replaces lost or damaged synovial fluid, and Confidence EQ pheromone gel, which reduces and prevents equine stress. Consult your vet and visit bimedaus.com to see where to buy.
Sounds like it can be difficult to differentiate like what condition is actually affecting the horse with all that overlap between clinical signs. So what does your standard diagnostic workup look like for a suspected muscle condition? And what are some of the tools that you have available to you?
Sure. No, that's a great question. So I think one of the common things that people worry about are looking in a workup for muscle conditions is, oftentimes it can be associated with lameness or perceived lameness. So really parsing out between muscle disease or lameness or are the two timed together in some way is an important step as well. Sometimes things are more acutely related to muscle. Like if you're on your palpation, and we always start with a good physical exam, if you are palpating heat, pain, swelling, local atrophy to an area, especially if you're comparing side to side in the horse because there's symmetrical muscle groups, that can really kind of point us towards if we have a concern about a muscle area. If they have general muscle wasting or very dramatic muscle wasting, then we can pursue that too. So starting with that good physical exam, I often will put a lameness exam in there. So watch them trot to make sure there's not a lameness component as well. So after that, then what we tend to do a lot of the times is look at kind of further diagnostics. So that can take a few forms. A common one that I do is an exercise test. So we'll take a baseline blood sample and look for the level of CK in the blood, and that's a muscle enzyme that elevates if there's injury. So we'll take a baseline level of that, trot the horse for like 15 minutes on the lunge line, wait about 4 hours, and then repeat the blood draw and see if that CK is kind of increased more than fourfold with just very light exercise. Another thing we often do is look at muscle biopsies. So muscle biopsies can give us kind of a microscope level view of what's happening in the muscle tissue to look for injury and signs of injury to really guide us down the pathway. We'll also often run genetic screening tests. So we'll take either blood or hair with roots, importantly with roots, and off to UC Davis to kind of look for some genetic muscle conditions that can happen as well. And so those are kind of part of like the baseline workup, but we also want to include things like vitamin E levels. Low levels of vitamin E or inadequate tissue levels of vitamin E have been associated with muscle atrophy and disease. And then we can kind of do some more exotic things too, looking at some electrolytes and clearances, et cetera. We can do more advanced procedures looking at like electromyography. So looking at actual muscle action and often comparing them side to side in horse. And then there's also diagnostic modalities we can use. So with our regular radiographs, sometimes we see actually there's like a little bulge and fractures that we can pick up. But commonly, I think my favorite one to use is ultrasound. So with ultrasound, we can really get a good look at the muscle tissue, see if there's hematomas or bruising in the area, look at the fibers and compare them side to side, and then also see if there's scar tissue in the area as well. And then another option that we can use sometimes at referral centers is nuclear scintigraphy. And this is a process where essentially we inject kind of a radioisotope into the vein of the horse, and then we look where there's inflammation. And so if we can see kind of uptake of this drug in the muscle bellies themselves, we can say, hey, maybe we should look at this more closely and then normally follow up with the ultrasound.
Do you find that you can usually reach a pretty definitive diagnosis, or are there cases where you might know that there's something going on with the muscles, but you can't really determine what it is?
So muscle groups and injuries are definitely like ongoing and evolving as far as diagnostics. And so even now, like understanding, you know, first it was like HYPP and then it was PSSM. Then we realized, oh, there's PSSM 1 and 2, and 2 is the one that doesn't fit the one. And then now we have myofibrillar myopathy, you know, which like used to be classed in with PSSM 2. So it's kind of an evolving field of understanding. And so I think there are probably times that there are muscle diseases we haven't totally characterized yet, but you know, we do see that there are kind of some treatment strategies that we can try and pursue in the case of muscle disease that helps or can help them. So we are still learning a lot, and there's probably still a lot more to learn. And that's a great thing about being in a research position, that we can pursue that. But I would agree, a lot of the times we get answers and sometimes we're still scratching our heads.
Yeah. So once you have a diagnosis, or, you know, something close to a diagnosis in some cases, how do you tailor a treatment plan for that horse?
Sure. So the treatment plans are going to be pretty unique based on what the underlying thing that's causing it is. So I'll give you kind of like a few examples. So, you know, when we were talking before about some of the exertional myopathies, like PSSM1 versus, say, myofibrillar myopathy, we actually have dietary changes that we do that are actually kind of opposite in those two conditions. And so a lot of people with warm bloods that have horses they think are a little bit tying up, think they have PSSM 1 or 2, like we'll often put horses on like a high fat, low starch or low non-structural carbohydrate diet. But if in fact warm blood does have myofibrillar myopathy, which is a problem where the Z discs of the muscle kind of pull apart, and that's kind of like the base unit of the muscle, actually that higher fat puts oxidative stress into the muscle and can make things worse. And so for those horses, we'd want to have them on a more of a high starch, low fat diet, which is kind of counterintuitive. Vitamin E supplementation across the line. I have all my horses, even the ones on muscle disease concerns, on vitamin E supplementation, and it should be a readily bioavailable form of it. So that is important for all the horses. And then exercise needs to be tailored. A lot of these muscle horses really need kind of a regular low level of exercise, sometimes sitting long periods of time, and then working really hard is difficult for them. But of course, that only can happen after you've managed any acute changes or injuries. So for some of these horses, there's medical things we can do to help them feel better in acute stages. And then in some of the cases, we do actually have surgical approaches. So sometimes with fibrotic myopathy, we do take a surgical approach. Although I'll say that that condition is a little tricky and it does tend to recur. So acutely, if there was like, say, a traumatic muscle injury, for example, you know, we'd be looking at rest and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, probably not steroids, and potentially some muscle relaxers like gabapentin or dantrolene. Also ice, at least initially, and compression if it's an area where you can do that. And then sometimes also acutely, if there's swelling in the area, we'll do topical Surpass as well as other NSAIDs. For more acute cases, that's when we get into kind of other, you know, adjunct therapies as well. And we can talk about some of those too if you want next.
Yeah, I'd love to dive into some of those adjunct therapies for these acute cases.
Okay, good. So we are currently working on expanding our repertoire of understanding, like kind of research with some of these therapies. So we have some support, but some of them are so new that they're emerging, and we're looking at seeing how best they can help our horses. Kind of other things we use in acute injuries for muscle injury, for example, things like laser and PEMF and sometimes TENS units to help with like kind of initial pain as well. We do know that acupuncture and laser and chiro and shockwave all have helped with back pain and soreness, maybe due to like a saddle fit situation. Mm-hmm. Putting that in there as a muscle condition as well, because our horses' backs take a lot of stress from what we do. So that's important to think about. And then sometimes we have like focal areas of atrophy. We'll do kind of functional electrical stimulation to get the muscles to be working without having to do like dynamic exercise in cases where horses might be limited. So we do have kind of a lot of things in those regions that we can do for adjunct therapies. And then we also have a whole bunch of exercises and physical therapies that we can also do that help the horse as well. And I can go on about those if you would like next.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to hear some of your controlled exercise recommendations, both for injuries and conditions, because I know that those can differ a little bit. And some horses, you know, do better with a little bit more exercise, and probably some need a little bit less.
So it's important to talk with some of our acute, like exertional myopathies. Some of those horses really need a time to like calm down and not have any more exacerbation to their muscles. So those horses initially are on rest periods. But after that kind of initial like rest and like recovery from the inflammatory phase, and we start wanting to put things back into work again. Some of the things we can do is really like kind of in build strength, especially core strength and balance and proprioception. So those horses need to go through different protocols. A lot of these I like to actually do on a preventative measure. So to really build up muscle strength and fitness before we get to the point where we have a problem. But for example, one of the things I think is helpful for core strength, especially addressing the multifidus muscle, which is a little muscle that really lines near the spine of the horse, we can have dynamic stretches. So where we're basically doing range of motion with head and neck, as well as like belly lifts and tail tucks to really kind of build up that internal core strength. We can also help with horses that say don't have like full range of mobility or have to be restricted from higher gates by doing things like TheraBands, resistance bands trainings, Pro 6, and things like that. I really do like poles of different like heights and sizes in the horses, again, to help them engage their core and build muscle strength. If you have hill work, that can be really good for working, especially like hindquarter muscles. We have done a little bit with physio tape. Some people actually like physio tape acutely because they feel like it lifts the skin and helps with drainage and edema fluid movement. I have liked it in short term because I think it does help the horses have more attention paid to the areas of which you're taping. And then we have also done like things like tactile stimulation. So the jangles, where we basically have things that are not heavy, but will tickle the coronary band to have the horses like kind of use their full range of motion in their limbs. And where they're doing that and lifting their legs, they're working their muscles coordinatedly. And then sometimes we'll actually use balance pads as well. So getting the horse to kind of really be on different kind of stabilities underneath their feet to really help, again, work their core strength. So if any of you guys have done those yourselves as humans, you will know it's not the easiest. And sometimes there's actually the balance balls that you stand on and the tables where you're, again, trying to like keep yourself steady. So those are all really good things to help for exercise and PT for horses that have different muscle conditions. I will say we talked a lot about these areas of things, but, you know, I want to just emphasize that a lot of the times, like dietary approaches are really important for a lot of these muscle diseases and conditions. Right. Like I referred to before. So yes, we can do all of these other things, but if you're not treating any underlying dietary concerns, you're going to have trouble long-term keeping the horse well and in work.
Right. What about turnout for some of these horses? So if you have a horse that has an acute muscle injury, do you typically recommend like a saw rest recovery period, or is it better to get these horses moving maybe in a little bit of a controlled turnout situation?
Sure. So if you're talking about some horse that has like a muscle tear injury, like we do often keep them on saw rest for like kind of at least the first like 5 to 7 days, but we don't want scarring to ensue. So even if they're on stall rest, sometimes we do a little controlled hand walking towards that end of the week or a little bit bigger turnout space after that time period. And then the other thing that you can do is controlled range of motion, passive range of motion exercises. So for example, if there's a known hamstring injury, like you can, you know, essentially lifting up the leg and placing it down several times a day, things that we can make sure that we're still using muscle function and we're not going to have any scarring, and then contraction of the leg is important. So that can often be done if we're worried about the scarring in conjunction with another therapeutic called therapeutic ultrasound, which can apply heat to the area, which can help like the range of motion the horses are able to achieve.
Great. So what does the typical prognosis look like for some of these conditions? And what are some of the long-term complications or chronic performance issues that veterinarians should watch out for?
So prognosis, again, varies. A lot of our muscle tears actually can be very successfully rehabbed. Like if you're aggressive and realize they're happening in the beginning point in time, so you don't get to the point where you do have scarring. If you do get to the point where you have scarring, like some of our fibrotic myopathies, the prognosis can be more poor because some of our surgeries that are either made to like break down the scar or otherwise can often themselves create inflammation that can create more scarring. So with those, again, if you address it and identify it earlier, that's better than later than not. With our kind of some of our other exertional myopathies, again, if you are able to appropriately feed them the correct diet and then keep them kind of in more consistent work, we have had great success with having those horses go on to have performance careers. So for example, one of the MFM, my mare that I have that has the myofibular myopathy, once we were able to get her onto the appropriate diet, which is high levels of antioxidants and muscling building capabilities, amino acids, you know, she went from a horse that was working at the second level up to working at the FEI levels again. And that was combined with, you know, more consistent work. So, you know, yes, she needed it, like 2 days on, a day off, 3 days on, a day off. But, you know, on the day off, she still had a lot of turnout and the ability to like kind of like move around.
Right.
So it's really working like a whole horse perspective when you have some of these muscle conditions. It's diet, it's environment, it's exercise, really all coming together to help get the best success.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. As we wrap up today, do you have anything else that you'd like to add about any of these muscle conditions that we've discussed?
I just would love people to keep a more open mind. And so if you have a lameness or you have a problem where your horse is, you know, just not behaving as they were before, I really would love people to start thinking more and more about muscle diseases and doing some of the work for them. Some of the tests we can do, the exercise tests and, you know, vitamin E levels are very simple things. We can do also dietary trials to see if it improves the horse's way of going. So it really would be great if that could just be a little bit more on the forefront of people's minds. If you do the standard workups and you're not seeing responses, to really think about muscle conditions as being a possibility.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Manfredi, for coming onto this episode and sharing all of your expertise. Really appreciate having your perspective on this topic.
You're welcome. It was a great time being here.
I want to say thank you again to Dr. Manfredi for joining us, and thank you to Vimeda for supporting this episode. And as always, thank you to our audience for listening to Disease Du Jour. If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, please send me an email at csisson@equinenetwork.com.